tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margin. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is engaging the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Shaku Maku, everybody. It's a lovely Friday afternoon in the city of Lagos, and I dare say around Lagos. So my weather gizmo tells me. I'm Aoho Obo, and you're on to the Public Square. We're together with Rotimi Sankore this week. Has been described in news and current affairs as a blockbuster week. You had ASUU suspending strike, and the appeal court freeing Nnamdi Kanu. Then there was President Buhari saying that insecurity will be over by Christmas. But we can't squeeze everything into one program, so we'll update you briefly on the big issues and focus on one for today. Today's Public Square will focus on President Buhari's claim that following some military successes, insecurity will be over by December. And today's meeting of the National Security Council, which is still ongoing, President Buhari presiding over that. Why is it desirable? Is it really possible to end insecurity by December? Is there an exclusively military solution to the fragility and insecurity? Rotimi Sankore and I will take you through the new data and the big picture analysis. Remember, you can interact with the program on WhatsApp 08095975805. That's on WhatsApp again, 08095975805. On Twitter, it's at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Aoho Obo, at Nigeria Info FM. Those are the points, those are the handles you can talk to us about. So Rotimi's joined in. Rotimi, good evening.
Good evening.
Great. Great. And real blockbuster week we've seen already, and the week isn't done yet.
Yes, it's, as you said in the intro, blockbuster. Mm. ASUU has suspended the strike, which it embarked on for several months now, for revitalization of the universities. I mean, that's one of the biggest current affairs issues in any country. Mm. And so it should be, because no country is better than its education system. And if the tertiary, right, is underfunded, then obviously all the science, technology, engineering, management skills, arts, and so forth, which you need to grow a modern economy. I mean, if that's not there, then Nigeria is not going to grow. That's the long and short of it. I mean, that's the significance of the ASUU strike. I mean, the countries that dominate the world economy today are the countries that are industrialized. And that industrialization is essentially based on research and development from the academic system. You know, countries are going to space, you know, it's research and development. Countries are leading in car technology, plane technology, computer technology.
Right.
It's research and development. You know, if we don't have that, then no progress. We will depend on oil. And as you can see, I mean, not only is the significance of the oil dropping, a gang of crooks can also set up a pipeline for many years and just take as much oil as they want. So even the existence of the oil is not a guarantee. I mean, a friend of mine said, how did they know? He was asked a question.
Right.
How did they know that the pipeline was there for 9 years? He said, it's easy now. They asked the pipeline and the pipeline told them. So, but the thing, however, with the ASUU strike, you know, we don't have the details yet.
Right.
Have the details, you know, what was in quotes, you know, done by the government to fulfill the agreements for revitalization that facilitated the suspension of the strike. We don't know that. So we have to bring the ASUU president. I mean, Public Square on Nigeria Info is one of the programs that has covered the ASUU strike more than any other program on any other radio station. So we have to bring the ASUU president back to explain, you know, what aspects of the agreements did the government agree to implement? Because we still have to remember, it's about an agreement that was signed, you know, and this agreement was signed after ASUU put forward its own position on revitalization, and the then federal government said no, it was excessive, and they set up a joint committee to assess the state of the laboratories, the libraries, the science and technology equipment, and then came up with a figure which was higher than what ASUU had even proposed originally, because they realized that the decay was so much that they had to rebuild almost from scratch. So now when Ngige or members of the current government say they can't sign an agreement which they can't implement, it's not clear what they mean. The agreement has been signed already. It's clear there is more than enough money in the country for that $200 billion a year to revitalize all the universities and industrialize the country. So we have to bring the ASUU president to come and provide more detail. What aspects were finally agreed for them to call off the strike? Now, just one last word on this, hour.
Right.
As everybody knows, the Minister of Labor presented a certificate to what he describes as alternative academic union. I mean, that is one of the most silly things that any labor minister can do. How does recognizing another academic union revitalize the university's system? I mean, how? You know, Minister Ngige, you know, everybody who has seen that video of him jabbing the ASUU president on the shoulder before walking out of the meeting called by the speaker, Bajabi Amila, everybody can see that Minister Ngige, his attitude towards the whole matter is that he's a personal fight with ASUU, which he cannot lose. But it is beyond him. It's beyond him. It's about the future of the country and the future of the youth of Nigeria. Because without industrialization, we'll keep producing half-baked graduates that we have no jobs. We won't have the big industries to absorb them. So that's really the issue. Look, if Ngige had the courage, we'll bring him onto the program and ask him these questions. But it's always difficult to get government ministers. I don't know what they are afraid of.
Right. Absolutely. And that's one big story we've had to deal with this week. Next to it is the story of the leader of the indigenous people of Biafra. Discharged, not acquitted, according to the Attorney General of the Federation, Abubakar Malami, and it's still something that appears wrote to me, they talked about at the Security Council meeting, where I'm just reading that they sided with the Attorney General of the Federation, and they say that a political solution to this can only be discussed within the legal understanding of what has happened. But while they argue about semantics or not, Michael Zekomese, and the lawyer to Nnamdi Kanu, I did see a clip yesterday where he was saying it has to be only be God. It was only God, only God. What's your overview on this one, Rotimi?
Well, I mean, it seems that the Attorney General is putting in too much energy in persecuting and prosecuting individuals with little evidence to show for his claims. I mean, essentially, what the appeal court has said is the case against Nnamdi Kanu as presented holds little water. I mean, that's essentially the summary of what the appeal court has said. You know, now note that over the last few years, a lot of the individuals have been persecuted and prosecuted. I think Showore's case was at the time very prominent because he called what he described as revolution now protests. And I think that first protest was to hold at the stadium in Surulere in Lagos. He was chased and captured like a criminal and charged with a treasonable felony. And I remember saying at the time that somebody exercising his rights to peaceful protest at the Lagos stadium to carry placard and calls it revolution now, how does it really qualify as a treason? And some people said, oh, you don't know what evidence. And I said, well, the evidence has been presented in court several times, and several courts have freed Showore. So what is the evidence that the judge cannot see, that the judges, several judges could not see, and freed Showore? And you remember, at one point, one of the overzealous DSS agents started to wrestle with Showore inside the court when Showore said he had been freed and he wants to leave. And the guy tried to pin him down physically inside a court of law. Now Showore has been freed. He's running for president. The evidence is nowhere to be found. The same thing with Zaki Zaki. You know, the same thing now, apparently, with Nnamdi Kanu. Now, you know, Nigerians have to note one thing. You don't have to agree with the politics or statements of Showore, Zaki Zaki, or Nnamdi Kanu. You don't have to agree with it to uphold their right to freedom of expression or peaceful protest. There are some people that unless you agree with somebody, you can't uphold their fundamental human rights. That's not how rule of law works. That's not how justice works. You know, whether you like any of these people or not, whether you think they are rude. I mean, I remember a senior government official saying Nnamdi Kanu described Nigeria as a zoo, and therefore he must be punished. And I was like, you know, where in the law does it say you can be punished for calling Nigeria a zoo? Even if your choice of words, you know, is saucy, rude, or even insulting, it's not an offense. It's not an offense, you know. So, I mean, the appeal court has ruled there is no evidence to hold him. There is no evidence of what he has been accused of. I mean, whether you like him or not, whether you like what he's calling for or not, the appeal court has ruled. So, you know, it's just better. It's just better for the Attorney General, especially, you know, to drop all this persecution and prosecutions and focus on the real causes of the insecurity, which we can see.
Which we will delve into when we come back from the break. But just to pick your mind on this one, what sort of form structure you think Nnamdi Kanu and his supporters will have after this legal victory. I remember with Shore and with what's our Yoruba activist, nation activist?
Sunday Igboro.
Yeah, Sunday Igboro. How they morphed after the different trials. What would you say happens to Nnamdi Kanu and his followers in the aftermath of this whole thing?
Well, nobody knows. Nnamdi Kanu is an unpredictable character.
Mm.
You know? However, the main issue which him and his supporters talk about, which is a referendum, it's an acceptable method going by a global standard to ask for a matter to be resolved.
Mm.
Now, the Nigerian Constitution currently has no provision for referendum, but there is nothing wrong in calling for referendum. You know, so I think they will continue to call for the referendum. Whether the tactics will change, whether he will become more polite and so forth, I mean, who knows?
Mm.
Who knows? But I think the call for referendum will persist.
Mm.
You know? And that's not against the law. I mean, you know. So, but let's see if he will be released first, and let's see what he will say next.
Excellent. And this just puts us in great stead for our next queue. We'll go on the break. And when we come back, we'll come and build a tent around insecurity and the president reiterating once again that he will bring insecurity in the country to a close the chapter, he says, by December this year. So we're counting down to that date. 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's Public Square. Let's talk. All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Sorry for that glitch over there, but back to the public square, and we have a big discussion, what you call the blockbuster of a week we've had so far. The calling off of the ASUU strike, that's just one thing to think about. You've also had at the same time, the military say the question around the insecurity in the country, the president saying that by December, it will all be over. And then finally, Nnamdi Kanu's, release? Or will we say that he's now been discharged? Discharged or acquitted? Is the discharge yes, and the disagreement about whether he's been acquitted or not lies with the federal government. The Attorney General of the Federation saying that the ball still lies in the court of the federal government. Rotimi Sankore is still here with us on Public Square. And so, Rotimi, we can get into the big discussion for today. Don't forget, you can send us messages on WhatsApp. And quite a number of messages we've already seen on WhatsApp already. 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. So, Rotimi, not for the first time, not for the second time. We did hear him during his Independence Day anniversary reiterate that. And then this week again, the president has reiterated that he's going to end insecurity by December. We'll get a gift from him, which will be zero, maybe a complete reduction in the cases. And I guess it's subjective from a newsman's point of view what exactly he means by that. But what's the basis for the president's claim that insecurity in Nigeria will be over by Christmas, Rotimi?
Well, I mean, it seems to be that some progress being made by the military has encouraged the president to think that it's possible to end insecurity by Christmas.
Mm.
But, you know, once you know the data behind the underdevelopment, and especially the aspects of the underdevelopment that are providing the recruits for the bandits, extremists, and gangs, because that's the thing. It's a game of numbers. It's about demographics.
Mm.
It's about population. It's about underdevelopment.
Mm.
And the indicators keep getting worse. So the president's claim indicates that either the president does not understand data, population, and demographics, or the president is being misled, or both. You know, and neither option is reassuring. Neither option is reassuring that the country could have a president that does not understand the basis of the underdevelopment and thinks just throwing military resources at it can end it in December. I mean, there was a time when every month the president will summon the service chiefs, give them marching order, give them the final marching order, the bandits must be crushed. And every month, the thing keeps getting worse. The president will make an anniversary speech or the other and say, before he came to power, Boko Haram held several local governments in Borno and Yobe states, and that is no longer the case. Well, they can't hold those local governments anymore because superior military, power has been thrown at them. But what has happened is that they now have more recruits, and in the northwest, where it is not so much extremists but bandits, I mean, the level of lawlessness is far, far, far worse. Far, far, far worse than when President Buhari came into office. Look, the current insecurity in the northeast and northwest especially is based on the demographic transition of 13 million children out of school. Previous number. Now, for those who don't understand, out of school children are those between the ages of 6 and 16. Now, it means they can't read or write. They have no job skills. They have no prospects. If they live in largely rural areas, then they are very, very, they are very, very susceptible to recruitment by bandits and extremists because the state has collapsed in those areas. The state does not exist. That is the point. The state does not exist in those areas. No schools, no amenities, nothing. Those kids don't know anything. As they grow from 17 to 27 years old,
right,
they become young adults. They have no jobs. They can't read and write. They can't tell right from wrong. Many of them are suffering from severe malnourishment, which has impacted on their ability to think logically, their cognitive ability to know right from wrong. So they are easily led into criminal activity. I mean, there are developmental causes for these things. So now the out-of-school children has gone from 13 million to 20 million. So if the problem we have now was based on the previous lower number of 13 million, the new number of 20 million announced last month by the UNESCO Institute for Statistics, and this is global research, is standardized research applied to Nigeria as well as other countries of the world. So if we now have 20 million between the ages of 16 and 16 out of school, they can't read, they can't write, they have no job prospects, they are mainly in rural areas. As they transit from 17 to 27 over the next 10 years, there is more and more of them. There is more and more and more of them. So while the military success is welcome, the military success is not building schools, the military success is not providing teachers, the military success is not providing vocational education, is not providing job skills, is not providing electricity. And very importantly, the governors at the state level are failing abysmally. A lot of this problem is coming from the subnational level. The governors are pocketing billions, billions of naira in security votes. Tell me, what is cheaper? To build the 800,000 classrooms needed for these 20 million children at 25 children per class, recruit 800,000 teachers, pro rata the states where the problem is, and solve it, is it not cheaper to provide those 800,000 classrooms, 800,000 teachers needed 25 children per class in Katsina, Zamfara, Yobe, Borno, Niger, and all those places where it's going to blow up next, like Sokoto and so forth. I mean, half of Kaduna is almost gone. It's much cheaper to do that than to go and start buying Tucano jets, Tucano aircraft. They are not jets, by the way. They are propeller planes for close ground support. You know, Tucano aircraft, helicopter combat, combat helicopter, and so on and so forth. I mean, it got to a point where one of presidential candidates declared that, in fact, all you need is to recruit 50 million youths, give them Agbado and cassava, and push them to the northeast and northwest. Hence, he's now known as the Agbado Master. 50 million soldiers. Come on, not even India or China has 50 million soldiers. And those are countries of 1 billion. Plus, Nigeria is 116 million. Where are we going to find 50 million soldiers? Even the 500,000 we have now, from time to time, they have supply problems, they have payment problems, and so forth. 50 million. I mean, you know, it just shows that the ruling elites are not connected to the reality of the problem. And the governors especially are getting away with, you know, not investing where they should. Any governor can just split the state budget into two,
right,
claim half of it is security vote, and never be questioned. This is the main reason why the insecurity is not going to end by December. In fact, if anything, it's going to get worse over the next 10 years. It's gone, you know, unless that investment is made now. The investment has to be made. The president has it all wrong. I mean, at best, he has it all wrong.
Right.
The worst case scenario, he has no clue what is happening.
Right.
Neither do his ministers, the ministers of education, the minister of youth, the minister of labor. You can see all these people, they have no idea what is happening.
All right, and it does provide answers to the questions we posed around whether there's an exclusive military path towards dealing with insecurity. It's humongous how much Nigeria, I was just looking at the document before I came in, wrote to me, we spent about between 2010 and 2017, I'm sure those numbers have jumped up, according to a report I saw, we spend about 6.7 trillion naira in budgetary allocation in this war against terror. We had borrowed in 2013, I remember very well, $1 billion. And to think about how much we spent on this war against terror in the past 12 years, it's unbelievable. Really unbelievable. And this money that should have gone into development and, you know, social infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really, really sad. I mean, we can look outside the country to see where, I mean, this has not worked. I mean, look at Afghanistan. Look at Afghanistan. I mean, the Americans provided the Afghan government that they installed with every, you know, the latest firepower, helicopter, gunships, real jets, not Tucano propeller plane, or real jets, you know, tanks, train their special forces, everything. Meanwhile, the Afghan government did not invest in education. They didn't invest in reproductive and sexual health for girls. Girls were being forced into marriage as teenagers, being forced to bear 8, 9, 10, 12 children. The population kept growing. Demographics kept running away. The Taliban kept getting recruits. Over the 20 years, the Taliban, you know, is the out-of-school children that became the foot soldiers of the Taliban. Over two decades, the Americans pulled out. President Biden was saying there is no scenario he can see under which the Taliban will retake Afghanistan in the next 6 months to 1 year.
Right.
Once they pulled out, the Taliban overran Afghanistan in 6 days. 6 days.
Right.
So, you know, so it doesn't matter how gallant our our military is. Mm. That's not the point. Their gallantry is not what is at stake. The point is, are the bandits, extremists, and gangs being allowed to recruit freely such that after some time, in 10, 15 years, they start to overwhelm the military? That is the point. We've seen it in Somalia with Al-Shabaab. We've seen it in Afghanistan with the Taliban. We've seen it in different other formations in Democratic Republic of Congo, in Central African Republic and places like that. Those places started to fail, province by province, local government by local government. You know, you can't maintain sustainable development by putting the military everywhere. Mm. And by the way, it's only worse in the northeast and northwest because proportional to the population of those states, they have more people that can't read and write, more out-of-school children, you know, more girls being forced into marriage, being forced to reproduce the potential recruits. That's why it is worse there. Don't forget, we always remind, Lagos has more out-of-school children than Katsina or Zamfara, the Lagos suburb. Mm. Lagos suburb has provided the numbers, 2 million children out of school in Lagos. So, I mean, the fact that you have all these tens of thousands of Agbero and so forth, it's not an accident. People were complaining the other day when there was a match for a presidential candidate that it was a coalition of Agbero. Why didn't they complain about the lack of schools? The official data from the Federal Ministry of Education, about 90% of primary schools in Lagos are private. Private, about 90%. So if the private institutions can't make profit anymore, if they decide that they are not interested, the parents can't pay. Can you imagine how many out-of-school children there would then be in Lagos? There are 2 million now. If those 90% private primary schools collapse, fold up, or for no reason, no longer function, can you imagine what will happen
in
Lagos?
Unthinkable, Rotimi. Unthinkable to imagine the crisis we face if such a scenario was to unfold. And we can, I think we can begin to ask the callers to call in and contribute to...
Sorry, just one quick thing. Before we are over, we may get the communique from the National Security Council meeting ongoing, because I think the president's statement earlier this week that the insecurity will be by Christmas is being discussed, and no doubt the Nnamdi Kanu case is being discussed and so forth. If we get the outcome of that Security Council meeting today before the end of the program, we'll pivot back to it. But in the interim, of course, I mean, let's hear from the esteemed listeners.
Excellent. And in fact, just as you talked about that, I'm saying from our correspondents at the Villa that that meeting has ended. That's the Security Council meeting. And our State House correspondent tells us that they were briefed by the Minister of Police Affairs, Mohammed Dingiyadi, as well as his Minister of Interior, Rauf Aregbesola. You also have the Chief of Defense Staff, General Lucky Irabo. And they said they did not discuss the issue of a possible political solution to the Nnamdi Kanu situation. But they sided with Attorney General's position on the matter. They said that the council only discussed the appeal court judgment, but noted that solutions to this kind of matters can be considered as long as they are not sub judice. They also asked that in conjunction with the Office of the Secretary of the Government of the Federation, they want a high-powered investigation committee to look into crude oil theft in the Niger Delta with a bid to unraveling those behind it. Quite a number of things they talked about. They even had time to talk about the Kogi State government and Aliko Dangote situation over the over the ownership of the Bajana cement factory. All right, and I think we can, Rutby, we can go on that break, and then we come back. We have the headline news, and then after the headline news, we have all of the channels open for you to talk with us on Public Square. Please stay with us at 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Public Square.
All right, welcome back. 99.3 Nigeria Info, 2 minutes past five, and let the semantics not deal with us. Discharged but not acquitted. Acquitted but not discharged. It's discharged but not acquitted. And some of you are sending messages on WhatsApp saying, why is the judge getting all of us confused? They should have just discharged and acquitted rather than make us wonder exactly what he meant. So, Rutby, so we have the lines open for us to take in calls on Blockbuster Week. It's been on a number of issues. Many of those issues we followed, especially the shutdown of tertiary institutions for over 8 months, where lecturers have now called off the strike, suspended rather, the strike. And yes, also the December, which is our big story for today, December deadline for the end of security challenge. The line's already buzzing, but if you want to join the party, you might as well have the number 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. On WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. The female-only line is 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. Rutma, are you still there?
Yes, Aho. Before we take the first call, please, just some basic demographic information. There is a listener by the hand of Sia Voice. He is asking if 20 million children are out of school. You know, how many are in school and how many are in. So, right. I mean, this is where basic education on demographics starts.
Mm.
And because that education is not provided, people don't have a sense of scale. Mm. I bet you, Ahoho, that the majority of Nigerians don't have a sense of how many people live in their local government, or in fact, how many people live in the states. At the reside. Yes, right. I'm telling you the majority.
Yeah.
In most developed countries, this is the first thing you learn in primary school.
Yeah.
In your local government, you know how many you are.
In your class.
There are some boroughs or counties in developed country where there is a billboard as you are driving into the local government.
Mm.
They are telling, that billboard is telling you on one half how many people are currently residents in that local government, and your staff is telling you how many children have been born that week in that local government.
Yeah.
Now, so it's important to explain. So for Sia Voice, so this is the thing. You must have heard Ahoho say several times, and if you haven't, let me say it again.
Right.
The median age in Nigeria is 18.
Mm.
To put it crudely, roughly half the population of Nigeria is under the age of 18. Mm. That means we have over 100 million children under the age of 18. Over 100 million children under the age of 18.
Mm.
So 20 million children out of school represents those kids between the ages of 6 and 16, not those from the ages of 1 to 5. So that's where that figure is coming from. And out of that 20 million, 2 million are in Lagos. Now, as we always explain, the reason why you don't have banditry and extremism in Lagos on the scale you have in Katsina, Zamfara, Yobe or Bornu is that Lagos is densely populated and highly commercialized. So a lot of those kids are soaked up doing vocational things and trading. They can sell color in traffic.
Right.
They can be bus conductor. They can go and, in quote, kosher, be plumber, be electrician. If you are going home in the evening, you see many of them selling things on the road. Maybe apprentice to Baba Eleron, the meat seller. Some of them are hustling, helping people selling clothes and things like that. So Lagos can soak up a lot of those kids. The ones that are not soaked up are turning to gangs. As the number grows bigger, the ability of Lagos to soak them up will reduce. Now, those that have joined organized formations, such as Agbero, you can see how they can be weaponized. So in Lagos, in the future, you are likely to have political clashes between former out-of-school children and youth that are campaigning for candidates that want to remove current party in power. You are likely to see those kind of clashes. We've seen it in many other countries. It's not exclusive to Nigeria. That's why it is easy to explain these things. If you go to other countries, you will see how it happens. I mean, this thing of not teaching history, not teaching governance, not teaching development economics, I mean, it is a disaster in Nigeria because there is no global sense of scale or understanding of what may happen. So I just wanted to make that preliminary explanation, you know, so that the gentleman asking on Twitter, and look, if you follow me on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore, you will see an explanation of all these things over the fall, over the past weeks and past months.
All right, excellent.
So, I mean, these are things that, you know, that should be taught in school.
Right.
Policymakers should be taught in the Institute of Strategic Studies. For security agencies should be taught as part of basic sociology.
Right. So that we can see things big picture, which makes understanding some of this subject matters more simple, or simpler rather, to understand and put in context. So we're good to go to the phone lines. 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And do remember, you have at least 1 minute to make your comments. If you've got questions, you can also go, but we'll not let you exceed more than a minute so we can have as many people as possible contribute to the conversation. Let's hit the phone line straight away. Hello and good evening. Hey, Makushi.
It's good day. This is Pastor Ladipo.
All right, Pastor Ladipo. Good. Please go ahead.
You see, for me, I think the calling off of the strike is a good, thing because whether they need it or not, if you notice one thing with our government, they have decided to remain adamant. Anything that will not have direct benefit to them, they don't attend to it. So let's see how it goes. For all the statistics Mr. Rotimi is rolling out, they are aware of it too. That is why they don't want to do anything about it, so that they can continue to have full success.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Ladipo, and always a pleasure to hear from you. Hello and good evening.
Hello. Yalla.
Way too early. Your name, where you're calling from, please.
Good evening, sir. My name is Godwin Kole from Loshoro, Lakwe.
All right, Godwin, go ahead.
I start with blessing Professor Rotimi Sankore that God Almighty will reserve his life beyond expectation for this country, for his encyclopedia idea or whatever in this station. And you are God bless you for the unique presentation of what borders this country, Nigeria. And Nigeria is full as a station. May God bless you all.
Thank you very much.
Now, yes, for the topic at hand, do we have leaders, or sorry, not leaders, rulers, that have...
Godwin, are you still there? Oh, oh dear, he's gone off and spent the better part... The better part of the time blessing us, but thank you for your blessings, Godwin. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Osita, calling from Lekki.
Osita, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. President saying that he will end the insecurity by December. I think I don't blame him much because he's an elderly man. They say what an elderly person see while sitting, the young one cannot see that. So maybe he know what we don't know. I think maybe he will, maybe before December, he will enter the street of, all the street of Nigeria. He will use megaphone to call all the Boko Harams. He put them together in one field and then set them ablaze. Maybe, I didn't say he said so, maybe that is his plan, I don't know. So they should not bring confusion to Nigeria. They know what they are doing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Osita. Hello and good evening.
Yeah, Chief Obo.
Great to have you join us. Hey, Mark Rishi.
Sir, okay, good evening, sir. The policeman said the guy is acquitted, not discharged, right?
Discharged, not acquitted.
Okay. Then for the governor, see why... After 88, they become richer than a state. You hear what Rotimi said? But what I want to say to all these presidential candidates, are we just taking note of what Sarotimi is saying? Take note and implement those things. If peace comes to those regions and things work out, is it not good for every one of us? Hello, Samuel.
We can hear you. Yes, we hear you. Go ahead.
How come? For the past how many years, Sarotimi has been doing this? They don't. To be a good leader, you have to be a good listener. How come they don't listen like Pastor Ladipo said? They don't want to do it. That's why they, you know, they find so much money in their coffers. Please, I'm begging every one of them. They should try and listen to me. Implement some of these things. Oh. Don't buy to kind of killing your fellow human being and say, they told them, you see, is that security problem in that region that those things are explaining today. And they're telling us by December, they will keep everybody safe.
Thank you very much, Christopher. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Hello and good evening. Sorry about that. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
My name is Olu. I'm calling from Peace.
All right, Olu, go ahead.
Please, I want your analyst to enlighten us more about Dangote and Kogi governor, to enlighten us more, to understand more. Thank you.
All right, Olu, thank you very much. let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Good evening.
Your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Malik, speaking from Lakeview.
Malik, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, wrote to you. Do you know that when I was in university, there was a professor that was a senior advisor to a governor? What I'm saying is, don't you think they are aware of what's going on? And they feel if they implement those things that will make it right, will they make money? I don't know if you understand me. That's the problem. One of the professors and the senior lawyers work with government officials who advise them. They know all these things. Because the society, of the country called Nigeria, most of us are so docile. That's why we come recruiting same leaders since 1910. Either their father has been there, or their cousins, or that they won. What do you mean? If I ask you a question now, you'll be shocked. The same country, the same president gave a marching order since 2015. You date, and it's end of December to end. Who be Akara? Who be Ororo? Who be Fair? Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Malik. Okay, so we can switch briefly to WhatsApp and see the messages coming in. Pastor Olu says, out of school children, I believe the Lagos State government should buckle up I live in Imeke Badagry, and only one secondary school, which is Iworo Ajido Grammar School, services five large communities with about 200 students per class. They should build more schools. Many children are out of school here. Help us, oh, Pastor Lu says. Then this is Tony from Birmingham, who says, permit me to restate the challenges facing the country and the northern parts in particular are all man-made, because the little funds that should have been used to improve lives of the citizenry have been cornered by greedy politicians who use the same funds to send their children to the best schools the world over and hoping that their children will return home to continue to lord it over the children of the poor like them. But behold, the law of karma must surely catch up with them and their children's children, period. Thank you. Okay. That's Tony from Alabama. Chooks. Okay, this was in for us. Makushi, to you. Emmanuel of Mapapa says, I think the release of Nnamdi Kanu is the beginning of the fear of Malami, so that the judgment from the appeal court can be appealed. Abbe, Emmanuel, we hear you from Apapa. It says, this one is Greenish, who says, okay, I need to go start first from here. Okay, it says, if Kanu regains freedom before the election, okay, that's not for us. It says, no political candidate is talking about primary education on the state level. All right, I see you. Rotimi Sankore is amusing me. Makushi to you. Biden said Taliban fighters can't take over Afghanistan in 6 months to 1 year after America pulled out. They overran same Afghanistan government supported by same America in 6 days. Our government knows that hunger is the only weapon they have to weaken Nigerians. As for the Kanu case, I know that Buhari will never agree to leave Kanu. Damien from Shogunle. Nnamdi should be allowed, Kanu should be allowed to go for peace to reign, and enough of these technicalities. Ending insecurity by December is a force and is not feasible. For the ASUU, the suspension of the strike is not an acceptable option. They should fight to the end and not to start again after a few months. Elder Godwin Nemchuku from Ogun State, we thank you for your message too. All right. So wrote me.
Oh, good. There is a connection that may be important to make for some people to understand why Nnamdi Kanu is a phenomenon. You know, I mean, he's a showboater. He knows how to grab attention. Mm. You know, he's talking about something that affects a lot of people from the East, marginalization and so forth.
Mm.
Okay. But there are also population, demographic, and economic issues underlying it. If it was not Nnamdi Kanu, it would be somebody else, maybe with a different character, maybe with... So that's the point that the government really has to understand, that whether they hold Nnamdi Kanu or not, those issues won't go away. And the issues are essentially economic, jobs, and skills related. Look, in the eastern part of the country, for decades following the Civil War, a lot of young people went into trading, spare parts, electronics, and so forth like that. It started because after the Civil War, the opportunities to go back to school reduced. A lot of schools had been destroyed. I lived in Enugu in the immediate years after the Civil War. I went to school there up to the mid-70s, then came back to Lagos to continue school and went back again to Government College Umuahia. These are things that I understand clearly. The reconstruction of the Southeast led to a lot of young Igbo men that could not go back to school after the Civil War, going in trading and merchandising and so forth like that. And it came with a lot of wealth. The Udoji Award, if you are old enough to know what Udoji Award is, which essentially was a bumper package for civil servants and government workers, during the oil boom, also led to an increase in demand for electronics, fans, refrigerators, iron, TV, you know, and so forth, like that. As the economy slowed down, as the purchasing power of people dropped, people no longer patronize those businesses as much as they used to. So now, unemployment is 33%. Mm-hmm. Youth unemployment is 43%. Mm-hmm. So, and there is less purchasing power. Inflation is catching up.
Mm.
So a lot of the young Igbo boys that went into spare parts, motor parts, electronics, and so forth, thinking that as people before them did, after 2, 3, or 4 years, they will also be set up, they will make it big, they will take younger people, help them for a few years, set up, you know, and so forth. The, what is called the apprentice method.
Mm.
It has slowed down. And what that means is that there is a lot of unsettlement and, you know, people don't have a clear economic future. So there are a lot of these underlying factors. Add to that the marginalization of Igbos that followed after the Civil War. I mean, remember, the president of the country no less described the, you know, the Igbo people as a dot in a circle with nowhere to go. That is the thinking of the president. He is still in Civil War mode. I'm quoting him. It's not an allegation. He said it, you know, during a TV interview. So, you know, this whole thinking, you know, the political marginalization, the economic and demographic issues and so forth, will always throw up agitation of one kind or the other. Some people will say they want referendum. Some people will say they want secession. Some people will say they don't want to do again. Until those economic, demographic, political issues are resolved, it doesn't matter whether it, remember there was a time it was Masob. You know, Masob was the best thing, you know, in quotes, since sliced bread, and then Masob faded away. Then Nnamdi Kanu came up with IPOB. In a few months, Nnamdi Kanu fades away. Another person will come up, maybe more colorful, maybe more rude, maybe more polite.
Right.
The issues have to be resolved. It's not about individuals. Individuals represent things that are happening. They may represent them well, they may not represent them well, they may represent them badly, but that's not the issue.
All right, so we're going to go on a quick break, and we come back, we'll continue. We'll be on the last lap on Public Square on 99.3 Nigeria Info. But Feta is here, by the way. She's got something for us.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one talk news and sports station. This is the final lap of Public Square for this week. This blockbuster edition, which is looking at the reopening of tertiary institutions because ASUU has suspended its eight-month-long strike. The president saying that by December, insecurity will be over in the country. We're looking at details of the National Security Council meeting, which ended a short while ago. They reacted to another issue, which is a big discussion this evening, the discharge of Nnamdi Kanu, and just what it portends. The leader of the indigenous people of Biafra is yet to be released by the government, even though his lawyers say they're perfecting his release order based on the ruling by the appeal court. And we're taking reactions, Ruthmi Sankore and I, online as well as on the phone. The number to call, 0700-993-993-993. A female-only line, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. On WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805. I don't have your name, but it says that Rotimi should also remember the £20 given to Igbos, no matter their bank balance after the war, as part of economic marginalization. Heaven from Ogba says the president did not call Igbos dot in the circle. He called IPOB that,
And I believe everyone is being marginalized in this country. We have Mr. Ola.
That person Let's watch the same TV interview the rest of us watch.
Okay, there's another one also who is talking about the dot in the circle thing, saying it was like Pop referred to. I see you, sir. Ola. This is... I am impressed when Mr. Rotimi speaks. The whole of Okoran, a community in Ajeromi, Irekwodu, only has one primary school built by missionaries. There is no public secondary school. You either travel down to Okoafor, Ikoga, or Adoodo to get a secondary education. This is a community that Lagos State Farm is located. Wonderful. And I'll take this one before we get back to the phone lines. Some people like Adamu Garba are predicting that Kanu's release will cost Peter Obi's 2023 presidential ambition. Can anyone help us understand this unhealthy prediction? Chike from Apapa. Then...
Is Kanu running for president?
Okay, we get you. This is Iwora Jido. It's along Badagry axis. Okay, that's in response to the school in Badagry where you have 200 children per classroom in Lagos, by the way. Then Alaba Lakwe says that the only way to achieve best quality and world acceptable education is just for the law that will compulsorily make public office holders, either elected or appointed from president down to local government special advisors, not to send their words to get education abroad, and even not to have them schooling in any private school from primary up to university level. That's the only way to go for our education. Okay, it's interesting. Great. So, I think, Rotimi, we can get back to the phone lines and hear from the rest of the square. Hello?
If we don't... Okay, go ahead. I was going to say if we don't have anybody holding on.
Okay, we have...
Hello, Carl.
We have someone. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening. Your name, please.
My name is Graham. Calling from Lekki.
Graham, go ahead, please.
My take is on ASUU suspension of strike.
Go ahead.
I'm so happy so that my children will go back to school. I've been hearing some people calling that they should extend the strike. I don't know. I don't think those people, they are students. Our children should go back to school. I'm so happy about this decision for them to suspend the strike.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless.
Graham. Hello and good evening. Hello, good evening. Okay, attending to the children. Hello and good evening.
Chaku Maku.
Hey, Makushi. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Hey, it's your friend. Am I from Makoka?
Am I? Great to have you. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Prof. You know, if one thing for someone to know data and to know it and not use it, it's another thing to not even know data at all. When I heard 15 million youths, I was like, is this for Agbado? Is this for cassava? Do you understand? Because data drives development. You must understand demography. What we are fighting is terrorists, not terrorism. Because terrorism is an ideology, and education is a counter to that. So if by design or by default, you agree with the terrorists that school should not, Western education should not happen, what do you think you are doing? So when I listen to Rotimi's and Corey talk, I say, so if they say, I'm happy because sometimes people think everything is politics. We are laying the foundation of Afghanistan. This is not alarmist. This is data. Do you understand? All the other school people, what do you think they will do when they grow up? So now,
Who will talk about, let's elect competent people, they are saying, no, it's my turn, it's this one.
Mm.
You can't even marshal data. So what do you want to do? 400 million people must be sacrificed for your ambition.
Mm.
400 right. million. So right. I think if Nigerians should decide their futures, this is not about politics again, about development.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, MI. Hello, and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much for joining us.
I want to thank you. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Hello.
Aha, we can hear you.
Yeah, I said, you see, number one, I think I want to really appreciate what he has to do for calling up their side because of where many Nigerians, especially with the parents. Mm. We are so grateful to them. And not only that, I want to say that anybody from Nigeria, anybody that is going to be elected to any office, whether president, governors, ministers, who are to be appointed, we should appoint the right people, not put a right peg in a square hole, not those who we know that are not even if they are, you can't bring their disciples as somebody who is not educationally inclined, you put him as a minister of education.
Mm.
It can't work.
Mm.
That is the problem we're having in this country. You put a doctor to become a labor minister, what does he know about labor? Or you put a minister of transportation who is now a businessman, you say he's a transportation minister.
Mm.
You know, these are the problems we have. And another thing I want us to understand is that anybody that is going to be any government officer at all that is going to be appointed, they must make sure that their children, right from primary school to tertiary level to the university, must make sure they attend university or else they shouldn't be appointed at all.
All
that's
right.
My commission. God bless this nation in Jesus' name.
Thank you very much.
What the last caller is underlining is something which, I mean, we've talked about before.
Mm.
This idea of the National Assembly approving cabinet without portfolio.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've seen it happen. It makes no sense to any sensible person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the president wants to appoint a cabinet.
Mm.
He sends the names to the National Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
No portfolio attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the National Assembly passes it. Look, that's a disaster. It's a disaster. Look, there is no airline. Even in Nigeria, where crazy things happen, there's no airline that we set up and then somebody will send people and say, these are the pilots.
Mm.
And people will say, excuse me, do you have pilot training? How many hours have you flown a plane for? Before they allow the person to fly passenger.
Mm-hmm.
That's an airplane that will carry 200 or 300 people. You can't let the pilots, the person into the cockpit without knowing for sure that the person is qualified to fly an airplane.
Mm.
Now you bring somebody and say the person is part of your cabinet and nobody knows what you are nominating the person for.
Mm.
Person can't be asked any question about anything. Even worse, if they be members of National Assembly before, they bow and go.
Mm.
I mean, what kind of tragedy is that? Mm. That has befallen Nigeria. I mean, this must be the last time that such nonsense is happening. It's just the basic fundamental of governance.
Right. And the irony is that the Senate calls it screening panel. Oh. And, you know, and then
screening.
It's a blind screening.
This is what you get when you have rubber stamp. When they say they are rubber stamp National Assembly, they will say no.
Hmm.
But somebody brings cabinet and you are not, you know, you don't know what the person is being nominated for, if the person is qualified for it.
Okay, good. So we'll get back to the phone lines. Let me take this once on Twitter very quickly. Billy Ajala says, good evening. Much as I respect my president, I disagree with his statement about ending insecurity by December. My reason here is, wasn't our president there when his former army chief, Burah Tay, said it's not going to even end in 20 years? Truth Will Prevail says that if 20 million are out of school, how many are in school? How many are we? Kindly make it make sense, okay?
We answered that early on.
Good.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. And if you do have time, you can go on Twitter. We'll pick them as they come. Good. Let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Thank you very much. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
Joy calling.
All right, Joy.
I want to answer about National Assembly.
All right, Joy.
Not asking those people the right question before putting them in the office.
Hmm.
The National Assembly, are they the right people to be in that position for the first place?
Hmm.
So how can they bring the right people to be in those positions? Hmm. They are not supposed to be there. At the right time, they are not supposed to be in that position.
Hmm.
So that is what we should know.
Hmm.
So they too will bring wrong people and appoint them and say, bar and go. That is what is happening in Nigeria. Wrong people in our leadership. That is why the country is just collapsing.
Hmm.
Then again, for president to promise that the DC will go for December, it's a joke. When the hunger is too much in the land, insecurity, people are hungry, no school, nothing. He's joking. But in follow-up, we say, yes, my president is speaking. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joy.
You know, this speaks to the question of electing the correct National Assembly representatives.
Right.
People are over-focusing on president.
All right. Right.
Going to vote your House of Reps for your Senate.
sorry, Rotimi. Let's squeeze in this
position of the federal government on the article of. Hello, can you hear me?
All right, go ahead. Is this Ezedum?
Yes, Ezedum.
All right, go ahead, Ezedum.
Last year, I deliberately refused to travel for Christmas because of insecurity in South East, instability and the death of business in South East. I remember when Mbazulike Ameji led some Igbo leaders to Aso Rock. The president promised to look into their matter. When the president came to Ebonyi State, he promised to look into the matter. When he came to Imo State, the president said that he will allow the judiciary to handle the matter. Please, Aoro, now the judiciary has concluded the matter. We are begging the president to release Nnamdi Kanu for peace to return to South East. Malami is not the president of Nigeria. Our problem is that some hardliners are working for the president. Hardliners. When you are close to a hardliner, it will influence your decision. South East is begging for stability. We are begging for peace. My mom called me, please don't come home. There is a heavy army checkpoint in front of my community because of unknown gunmen, IPOB, protest.
So Ezedum, will you be going home for the Christmas this December?
I will go home because I hope that he will be released before Christmas. I want to travel.
Okay, I thought you were going home. I thought you were going home based on the president's promise.
No. I want to travel, but please release this man. Let there be peace in South East. Once he is released, however, there will be peace in South East. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Ezedum.
Please, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Rotimi.
I mean, Ezedum himself hinted at the economic and social conditions in the South East. And like I was saying earlier, you know, Nnamdi Kanu is not the key determinant for social stability in the Southeast. The key determinant is the collapse of the national economy, which means that a lot of the boys in the apprentice system are not making progress. They are stuck in the system. Look, when I finished school in Government College Umuahia, those of us that have plans to go to university felt sorry for our classmates that did not have the means to continue to university and went into spare parts, electronic dealership, and so forth. Before we finished university, they had bought cars and had houses, and we are, you know, and they were feeling sorry for us. Mm. So, you know, now the collapse of the economy, the 33% unemployment, 43% youth unemployment, means that citizens don't have the purchasing power to buy the things that will, you know, progress their markets and enable their organs to set them up.
Mm.
So a lot of those boys are now stagnating in the system.
Mm.
And a lot of those boys that feel that Nigeria is not working for them.
Mm.
So, you know, so the economics is really crucial. If Nnamdi Kanu is released tomorrow and says he's not doing it and he's going back to Scotland, you know, somebody else will spring up and, you know, start to harness all those issues as well. So, you know, it's really important that people go beyond personality and, you know, pay attention to the social and economic issues.
We have to go now.
To play.
Right. Right. And it's a great way for us to end the episode of this blockbuster of Public Square this evening, Rotimi. We're out of ammo, we're out of time.
Well, what can we say? Join us 4 p.m. next week on 99.3, next week Friday.
Excellent. And everyone have a fantastic weekend. All right. We have Feta in here. All right, what do you have for us?
Yeah, so I just came here to remind you of the cocktail week. It's starting today, 14th of October till 22nd of October. What is it about? It's a period for you to kind of create more priceless moments with mixology at its finest and signature cocktails specially curated for you at the best bars and restaurants in Lagos. You don't get to enjoy this alone. You actually can call your friends, your family. You guys can hang out and have such a very wonderful time together. Now, just because I mean, you can have this experience in other best bars and restaurants in Lagos. Doesn't mean all the best bars and restaurants in Lagos are participating in this. But if you want to know, you know, the restaurants that are participating, all you have to do is visit www.lagoscocktailweek.com. And when next you're out, make sure you're asking for the MasterCard cocktail menu, okay? And when you get it, pay with your MasterCard, and then you can get this exclusive offer coming straight to you courtesy of MasterCard. Call up your squad. Tell them drinks are on you this weekend, okay? T for thanks.